May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sunny Israel Bukatan Nathaniel Lavrov Hawkins, and I like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to find your seats for seven services.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. Shabbat. My name is Sunny Israel Bukatan Hawkins, and I like to serve as you as a priest starting very soon. It's now my privilege and honor to present to you the Son of Daughters in Israel, allowing to end the sanctuary.
Great job.
I'd like to introduce Odaya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today my title is, Believe in Yahweh is the only source of power in the universe. And that is Positive Law 1. It is found in Exodus 20, verse 2. If you all please turn there. And it says, I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. We need to first understand what a positive law is. A positive law is a law that tells us what we must do. This law is telling us that we must believe in Yahweh. And this law tells us who He is by telling us His name. Then he tells us what He is to us, our Heavenly Father. He tells us what He has done for us, brought us out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Being slaves into sin represents when being slaves in Egypt. And this is what God's freedom gives you. 666. Yahweh freed us from the bondage of sin by opening our minds and giving us His laws so that we might obey them and belong to Him. We must be willing to call upon Him by His name in prayer. We must acknowledge that Yahweh is our only lawgiver. We must be willing to be taught by His perfect laws. Then we must be obedient to them, keeping His laws that we might qualify to be a part of His family in His soon coming kingdom. So if we will all get the names of the gods out of our mouth, and this will be the God-forsaken land forever. And with that, if you all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to
Son of Israel, Deacon Buffalo Bill Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. In the PCI, be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be talking about guarding and keeping. Now if you'll turn to Genesis 2 and verse 15. Genesis 2, verse 15. Then Yahweh took man to put him in the garden and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and care for it. Now here Yahweh commissions Adam to guard and keep this work. Pastor said that the word work and care means to guard and keep or guard and defend. Now, in the 12th book of Israel, part 1, which is this one, chapter 6, verse 27, it says, but here in Genesis 2:15 now, Yahweh set the perfect work here. It was absolutely perfect, and that is what he gave to Moshe in the way of a kingdom that was supposed to do what he was told to do to Adam right here. This work and care, it actually means guard and defend. Well, what is this talking about? It's talking about the work of Yahweh, as the great Kohen Malachi had just brought out. The work of Yahweh to guard and defend this work. Now, I encourage you to read this chapter, chapter 6 of the 12th book of Israel, part 1, entitled Back to the Beginning, Guard and Keep the Way Taught in the Beginning. Yahweh's instruction to guard and keep was done away with, like all of his other laws, by the Catholic Church and all other religions. After they killed off all of Yahshua's disciples, there were no more teachers to enforce the law. And Shaul said this in Romans, that there was no teachers. That the people had no teachers other than what they were taught at the churches. And what they were being taught at the churches was deception. It was lies. It was whatever Satan wanted them to be taught instead of what they should have been taught. After the fall of Rome, their most lasting legacy still remains, that of their still powerful religion. The Roman religion is the one that conquered large territories and killed Yahshua, and they killed all of his disciples. Well, Yahweh said, guard and keep my laws, and this was not done. In the 11th book of Israel, part 2, in chapter 12, verse 19, it says, he says this in Genesis 2:15, work and care for it, this garden, the tree of life. Care for it, work for it, care for it. Notice that. Verse 15, Genesis 2:15, he put man in the garden where the tree of life was, and he said, work for it and care for it. Take great care of this. Don't take it lightly, but take great care of this life that he has promised and will give you if you keep his commands, as you see in verse 16. Now, in 1 Yochanan, it says to keep yourselves from the influences and the ways of the world. If you'll turn there, it's 1 Yochanan. 1 Yochanan 5 and verse 21 on page 967. It says, little children, keep yourselves from the defilement of the gods. Now, keeping yourself from the defilement of the gods. The world is full of examples of the defilement of the gods. Here are some examples. Flu widespread in Virginia, health officials say. Cayuga County, Ohio, health officials expect more flu increase. Measles outbreak feared in New Jersey after passenger arrives at Newark Airport with disease. Ukraine health officials, 54,000 measles cases in 2018, vaccination to begin in February. Pakistan reports 100,000 cases of malaria in Sindh province. Bacterial disease in Puerto Rico spiked after Maria. All these are examples of the defilement of the world. The scriptures has clear instructions that when done away with will cause the diseases and sickness we see in the world. Now in the 12th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 14, and verse 58, it says, Yahweh commands Adam, even in the days of Adam, he said, he put them there, and said, guard and keep this perfect, don't let sin come in. When mankind does not follow this, they receive curses. The same thing when people were tasked to guard and keep has occurred time after time, eventually, the same thing that occurred in Genesis 3, 1 through 5, if you'll turn there. Yahweh gave Adam strict instructions in Genesis 2:15 that says you got to guard this and you got to keep it. You can't allow sin in at all. Any sin, not even a little bit of sin. Now, the serpent, as it says here in verse 1, was more subtle and crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. And she said to the woman, "Has Yahweh indeed said you can't eat of every tree of the garden?" Seriously? Really? He doesn't know what he's talking about. So she starts planting this doubt in Eve's mind. And Eve, you know, says, well, this is what we've been instructed. We can eat, we can follow this way, we can keep his laws, but we can't do this or we're going to die. You know, dying you will die. And the woman said, "Surely you won't die. For he knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be as God's Elohim, knowing righteousness and evil." And so it's this clever deception that has time after time fooled people and lulled them into the way of the world. Now, because they believe that it's all right, you know, it's harmless, but in effect they're becoming evil as the gods and they don't even realize it. Now the world is suffering from disease after disease, the flu, the malaria, measles, and bacterial diseases. Now we're charged to guard and defend this work at all costs and not allow any sin in. And we're also running a race to get into the kingdom. If we don't guard and keep and defend, we're going to allow sin in and we're not going to be able to make it to the kingdom. We must guard and care for it and not allow any bit of sin in. Now, if you'll turn to Psalms, 19. And verse 5 on page 441. He comes forth like a bridegroom from his canopy, and he rejoices like a champion to run a race. We have to run a race. We have to run. If we stop, if we slow down or if we stop, then we're going to allow sin in. Otherwise, we'll end up failing and falling for the deception of the world that we're supposed to be guarding against. The same thing that we've been tasked to guard against. If we're not guarding against this, then we're eventually going to go the way of the world. Even if it's a small amount of sin, we might think, well, you know, it's just a small amount, it couldn't hurt. But the more you allow in, the more sin takes over your life. If you don't guard and work for this, you're going to fail. If you continue to guard, then you will receive great blessings. Now, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 5. And verse 6. Your arrogant pride is not righteous. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new batch, since you are unleavened. For truly Yeshua, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Even though Passover may seem like it's a long time away, we still must be preparing ourselves and getting ready to become like Yeshua. We got to get all the impurity and sin out. The world is full of sickness and is a mess. The governments are seeing that it's impossible to lead. The mess that the Vatican has created, they're starting to see with people are protesting their rule. They're seeing that there's no way out, but there is a way out. They need Yahweh is what they need, and we're their only hope. So we have to work every day to guard and keep, because if we're ever to get them out of the mess that they're in, we first have to be ready, and we first have to be perfect. Have to come to perfection. Now, we should never allow sin to come in the way it was in past times, the way things were let slide, like in Solomon's day. Small amounts of sin came in, and then, you know, it became bigger and larger. and eventually took over the whole kingdom. When the laws were kept, there was peace and prosperity. When they weren't, it turned into a big, giant mess. So I encourage you to continue to study, do hard, work hard, continue keeping the laws, and work towards perfection. And this I'll turn over to the next speaker, Deacon Yada.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. Title of my speech is Submission to Yahweh and His Last Day's Witness, the Seventh Mulek, Israel Hawkins. He is our life. And if you remember these pictures, okay, maybe we can focus in on them a little closer. There we go. Well, if you remember last time I spoke about the leprosy and the tuberculosis, if you see, there's quite a resemblance of both. Everybody can see that? And if you remember this one, okay, that was tuberculosis. See the resemblance? That's the leprosy. See? In the global warming, I'm going to be hitting quite a bit in this book. It's an awesome book. The Real Cause of Global Warming. And I'm going to start with a scripture in Luke 24:25, if you'd like to turn over to that. It's on page 813. And it says, "Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart, not to believe what the last day's witness, Israel Hawkins, has spoken." I changed that a little bit. And if you go back into prophecy, you can see why. And then in chapter 1, page 18, in the global warming, the firmament is sick. The firmament in the heavens that reach out from the earth. It was created by Yahweh for mankind's survival. For food, water, and health. And you're going to see later that the food that we put into our bodies has a lot to do with our health. It also called the heavens or expand. The firmament is made up of micro kingdoms. And that's what we're made of. Micro kingdoms that are set by law. And we too are set by law. When we step out of those, it's sin. As Yahweh commanded. In chapter 1, page 24 of Global Warming, notice cell mutations. The neuropathic doctors teach that your body tomorrow is what you put in it today. And you remember the old saying that you are what you eat. Your entire body has the ability of rebuilding itself less than a year. Every cell in your body can be replaced by whatever we put in our mouth to eat. So now you go back to what we eat. Is it clean? And is it kosher? There's a lot there, and that will be coming out later. Think of this. If pork is consumed, and it changes or mutates cells, those mutated cells cannot function as normal cells function. And when we do certain things, we cannot function either. When we put certain things in our bodies, what does it do? It causes a lot of disease, sicknesses. When you defile your body with mutated cells, defile it by doing these things. And we got to remember that the microbes that are in us, they're just like the microbes in the expand, that they're set by law. When you defile your body with mutated cells, if they are used by the brain, guess what? Your brain suffers confusion. And then when you think that it's not hurting me because I'm eating these types of foods, well, guess what? That shows you're already confused. I'd like to show you here. This is a liver, and you can see basically what sin brings. These are little lesions, which are pus pockets. Okay. Everybody can see that, right? Well, let me show you what a normal one looks like. I'm not going to say anything about the napkin, but I do have mine. You see that? What's you guys never seen a liver? I'm sure the hunters have. Really? See the difference here? Everybody see the difference? That's where the defilement comes from? Oh. Let me show you this one. This is a kidney. And you can see the same things taking place right here and all the way out around here. You can see the little lesion right here. And then I'll show you one that's okay. I'm sure everybody has seen a kidney, right? Everybody's seen kidneys before? No? Really? Okay. That's the outside one, and it's okay. This is the inside. Okay? And it, I don't know if we can see it, but there's like little filters on the top of this and on the bottom. That's why I wanted to open it, but here's the difference right here. You see the difference? Wow, do you think cleanses are important? They sure are. I always refer to these, the kidneys, as a... like a little filtering system, but this in here, you can see how these little bile ducts are starting to get closed off. You can see all the surroundings right here. And these like look like little filters. Okay? I always refer to this as a kiwi. You can see the kind of little filters around there. This is when it starts to get bad. And that's when it's real bad. It no longer functions. I'd like you to turn over to Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. And that's on page 982. I guess there's something out in the news today. What President Donald Trump has done in passing a bill on the eating of cats and dogs in the USA being banned. Okay, just remember those things. In Revelation 18, verse 1, and this is the new translation, and after these things, I saw at Abel a priest, a teacher, the one sent from Yahweh. He had great authority, for the whole world revealed the truth by Israel, who reverenced Yahweh and his laws. Hopefully, you will soon figure out who this man really is. And if you all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, the great Deacon Michael Offus Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. Okay. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We are going to continue in Yahweh's hidden codes. I just want to remind everybody that with the hidden codes, you have what's called a skip. And, you know, it skips so many characters to the next letter. So you have the first letter in the word you're searching for, and then it'll skip maybe 12 letters, 15, 80, whatever. And then you go to the next character, and then it'll skip the same amount to each one. Well, this search, I had to do a real deep search, and it took a while, and it the amount of characters between each letter was 30,607 characters. So it covers a huge range of text in the scriptures. And the title of this one is Yahweh's Hidden Codes, House of Yahweh at Abel. And so we're just going to get right into it. Okay, so let's see what we got here. All right, back out just a touch. There you go. All right, so, of course, first we had the house of Yahweh at Abel, and it only came up once. So it shows that it had to search, and the computer ran for like a long time searching, and then it finally found it. Okay, so we got house of Yahweh at Abel here, and for all of you out in computer land, get your sniping tool ready to grab a screenshot. Okay, so, and then we had, connected to it was Yahshua, right here. And then, of course, up here was the third one, and it was high priest. Well, of course, you have the high priest, and then, of course, you have, down here, Kohanim, priests. So, of course, house of Yahweh Abel, Yahshua the high priest, and the priests that are under him. Okay. Then, of course, here we had peace, because Yahweh's house teaches peace and brings forth the peaceful solution, the great laws of Yahweh. And, of course, the laws of Yahweh were in there too, and they were in there twice. They popped up twice. Dabar Yahweh and Dabar Yahweh. Okay. Then, of course, over here we had two witnesses. So the two witnesses was in there. And across the two witnesses was humble. Okay? And there's a reason for that word humble. Pastor wanted me to look for it, and of course it came up. And there's a reason for that. We'll get into that in just a moment here. Okay, then a crossing, the house of Yahweh at Abel, is prepare. Now, this came up in the codes before. The first code reading that I did was Yisrael begin to prepare. Okay, so that's prepare right there. Then up here, we have Zerubbabel, of course, and we all know who Zerubbabel is. But of course, Zerubbabel is crossing Abel Way. We're going up to Abel Way. So Abel Way was in there. That was just kind of neat. But it gets even more interesting from there. This was another, since it was such a vast search, it was popping up in different sections, pockets of information. Okay? So this is the second page. And of course, again, we had the Hebrew year that corresponds to 1933 to 1934. And of course, that was when Pastor's conception and his birth, 1933 to 1934, and virtuous. The house of Yahweh being virtuous. And then again, popping up was the year corresponding to 2017 and 2018. Now, I asked the overseer, I said, this, you know, that year keeps coming up. And I said, that was the time when the embassy, the United States Embassy, was moved to Jerusalem. Not, it's still in the works. And I said, but one thing I noticed about that year for myself, and I said in talking to others, is there was a lot of growth in the people in the House of Yahweh. And I remember talking to my supervisor about the peaceful solution classes. You're really starting, those who attend regularly, we're all seeing growth and remembering and practicing. And I highly encourage you, if you're not coming to the classes, not only Peaceful Solution, but Lemudia, the law classes, the women's classes that they have, the men's speech class, if you're able to come, you need to be involved. Because the more knowledge that you take in and study and research, the greater positions you're going to achieve. Okay? So, you know, we're here to learn, we're here to grow, we're here to do what Yahweh wants us to do, what Yisrael Hawkins and Yahshua Messiah want us to do. We're here to do, following the instructions of the priests and the priestesses, and doing what we need to do to overcome and become the best we can be for the house of Yahweh. So I encourage everybody to be in the classes. Okay? So 2017 to 2018, I noticed a lot of growth in myself and the other men, and I'm sure the sisters have noticed that too. Now, okay, it gets really kind of great from here on out, because Yahweh put a bunch of stuff in there. And again, I went back to abbreviations that only we would know. Some things were not there until I approached them a different way, according to how we would approach them in the house of Yahweh, and they came right up. Of course, again, 1074 is there. Okay, 1074. And Oak Forest. Okay, Oak Forest is right there. And what would Oak Forest be without Abel Way and CR-254? Does anybody know what that means? CR-254? County Road 254. So County Road 254 was in there also. Now this one was, Pastor, you know, he rejoiced over this, as well as some of the other things I'm going to show you, but sewing came up. We have the absolute best seamstresses and seamsters in the house of Yahweh that there are in the entire world. And we have a team of sewing team. You remember when all the tallits and stuff, and Yahweh praised the work they did, putting them in the clouds. That the sewing, and also sewing basket. So that came up. And of course, press room. The press room was in there, which is right here. Okay. And now it gets even much better. Okay, WSR. WSR, does anybody know what that means? Women's sound room. Okay, WSR was right here. But of course it crossed MSR. Men's sound room. So WSR and MSR crossed each other, men's sound room, women's sound room, because The sound rooms work together closely on achieving the things that we, the goals we set for each feast, and having all the music and the stuff ready for the people when they come home, for the brothers and sisters to have to enjoy. So that was really great. But then, of course, we have these two right here are blended together. WSO. Women's South Office, right? Of course, the Women's South Office works closely with the SUO, which are blended together. So you have Women's South Office and the South Upper Office blended together right there. And, you know, that was really great to see. Okay. Now, also found in other areas of the search was Butterhouse. Butterhouse was in there. And I didn't have time to really, it would just, everything was coming up. And I'm like, well, let's just kind of quote some of the things that were in there. Skype was in there. Skype was in there. Callahan was in there. Okay? But the one thing that came up that was probably greater than anything that we've searched for, that really just set it all off, that means so much to everybody here, that's so important to us, that Yahweh put it in there not once, but He put it in there twice, and that is Pastor's Chili. Pastor's Chili was in there. Not once, but Pastor's Chili was in there twice. Pastor's Chili. Hint, hint, Buffalette. On one of these cold days, it'd be really great to have Pastor's Great Chili for when it's really cold. So, House of Yahweh at Abel, and all the stuff was in there. There's lots of areas of the work that was in there. I didn't have time to bring them all. So, of course, Yahweh acknowledges the work that we're doing. He recognizes it. And when I called Pastor about Pastor's Chili, I told him, you know, I looked for Texas chili, and I couldn't find it. And then I went into all the meanings of the word Texas, and even one of the very original words of the word Texas is Taysha, T-A-Y-S-H-A. And it was an American Hebrew Indian word. And of course, it went from that to Tejas, and then eventually became Texas. And none of that was in there. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, you know, man, Yahweh, it's got to be there. I mean, I'm sure it's there. And of course, again, the thought pops in my head, it's not Texas chili, it's Pastor's Chili. So I'm like, I typed it in, and sure enough, it came up only twice. But it was in there, and it was the skip, like I said, over 30,000 characters between each letter. So Yahweh hid these things in there real deep, and they're only for us. The hidden codes are for the house of Yahweh. And they show us the wonders and the glory of Yahweh and His work in these last days. So Yahweh bless you all with a wonderful Sabbath. If you'll all please stand. I have the great privilege and honor to turn it over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Okay, go ahead and put up the first slide, and we'll have the title of our topic today. We're going to be talking about Yahweh's trumpet and Satan's trumpet. Okay, because there's two trumpeters in these last days sounding out. Notice today's date, by the way. 1-5-2019 on the Roman calendar. And guess whose tag number's there? That's right, 322. And it's Isaiah 28. And if you remember, 28 is one of Pastor's lot numbers, right? Keep these things in your mind. We're going to switch gears a little bit this week. And can I have my next slide? We're going to be talking about the Mark of the Beast book. We're going to do some gematria again here. And this is new. This is not something that you've heard before, okay? So have your pens ready. Now, the first mention of this seven-year covenant spoken of in Daniel 9:27 is found on page 174 of this Mark of the Beast, Volume 1. And if you notice, page 174, MOB, is 2022. And it says, Remember, John said the two witnesses would prophesy for 3.5 years from the time that the strong covenant is made. Okay? Also notice, they call it a strong covenant. That's from the King James, and that's what it says. And notice on the page number, 174, you can put 1074 there. Just, you know, drop the zero. And let's see what Pastor said about this strong covenant on the next slide. On page 183 of the same book, he said, Yahya was speaking of the great tribulation, which starts with a strong covenant of 7 years and ends at the end of the 7 years with a great nuclear war. Drop that in the calculator and look whose tag number's there. Yeah, the very person that said it, that prophesied it in advance, 1074. Okay, y'all know who that is, right? Kind of can't hear you. That's right. And all the donkeys working with him, right? Okay. Now, also page 183, if you remember, 1934 traces to 183. So they're tied together as well. Let's go to the next slide. Here's a picture of President Clinton, Yitzhak Rabin, and Yasser Arafat sealing the deal with a handshake. Strong covenant, the Oslo agreement, the Oslo Peace Agreement, 1976. Well, what year was the Mark of the Beast, Volume 1, written? 1976. Okay, 1976. It's showing you that this strong covenant spoken of in Daniel 9:27 is indeed the Oslo Peace Agreement that Pastor spoke about 17 years prior to it being signed. 17 years. There's another lot number of pastors, right? 17. And remember, we're still waiting now on that last 3.5 years to kick in, that dividing of time spoken of in Daniel 7:25. And when you put in the dividing of time, look whose tag number comes up. The one that's going to explain it, right? That's he's prophesied to tell us about that last 3.5 years. 1074 is going to tell us all about it. Now, can I have my next slide? Let's look at, this is from the History Central, the Oslo Accords. And if you'll notice, it was signed on the 13th day of September 1993. This is the actual document, what it says. Drop that this 13th day of September 1993 in the calculator, and there you see that number 2022 yet again, right? Okay, there's a reason for this, because 2022 ties into this last 3.5 years. I'm not going to get into that. I'm just going to tell you. And it also means what? What does 2022 mean? Mountain, promotion, right? Great. Okay, and where is the mountain in the promotion of the house of Yahweh established in these last days? That's right, right here, okay? You're sitting in it. You're sitting on it. All right. Now, I don't want to... By the way, that number 1500 off to the right, it traces to Hebrew 1497, which means to snatch, steal, plunder, robbery, to strip. Remember in Amosha 3:12, you stripped the skin from my people? And I did the gematria on that and showed it here before, the gematria of I will move, you know, what was it? Zion will be plowed like a field and will become like heaps of rubble. Remember all that? Came out to 1497, showing that he's speaking to these heads of Yaakov on the seven hills, the ones that confirmed this covenant with Rabin. It was the Catholic Church that was behind this covenant. Okay, there's no doubt about it. And it's a worthless covenant, because 1500 in the Greek means vain and for nothing. Look it up yourself. I didn't have time on that page to slide it in there. But I'll show you on this next page. Go ahead. Worthless covenant. Netanyahu shut down. Notice they're both the same number, 1398. What is 1398? It's that same word used in Daniel 9:27. Where it says, he will make a firm covenant, a strong covenant. That strong covenant in Daniel 9:27 is what Netanyahu shut down, did he not? And it's a worthless covenant. It's going to come to nothing. The little horn, the worthless horn, is the one behind it. Yeah, you don't see him out in the open, okay? They do their business, their dirty deeds in secret. Let's go to the next slide. This is from infoplease.com, Early History of the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict. Notice this title, A Peaceful Solution to One of the World's Most Intractable Conflicts Has Proven Elusive for Decades. I'm going to read this to you because this backs up what Pastor told us about the word concessions and oblation. This is their own words. On November 4, 95, Prime Minister Rabin was slain by a Jewish extremist, jeopardizing the tentative progress toward peace. Shimon Peres succeeded him until May 96 elections, for the Knesset gave Israel a new hardline Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu by a razor-thin margin. Netanyahu reversed or stymied much of the Oslo Accord, contending that it offered too many quick concessions and jeopardized Israel's safety. Notice the word stymie, it means stop. Okay, stop. He stopped this in the midst of the covenant, remember? And that word concession means sacrifice. Remember, he causes a sacrifice and the oblation to cease. This is in their own words. We didn't put that in there. We didn't Photoshop it. Go look it for yourself. Can I have my next slide? Now, the Mark of the Beast, written in 1976. I want you to be thinking about two trumpets in these last days. Try to slow down a little bit. 1,976 in Gematria. The first number is 2762. And notice, it's from 2760, and it means to set in motion, to start. Okay, this is when the Mark of the Beast was written. Set in motion and start. Can I have my next slide? 2762 in the Greek means a little horn. Well, what was the Mark of the Beast about? The little horn, right? The 666, the mark of the beast, the city of seven hills. It also is from 2768, which means a horn-like projection at the corner of an altar. A horn is a symbol of power. It's used in Revelation 9:13 about, remember the four horns of the golden altar, the altar of death, or the horns of death? But it's also used in Luke 1:69 where it says, Yahweh has raised up a horn of salvation for us. So there's a horn of salvation and there's a horns of death. Okay? There's two. There's always the opposing. And remember, Yisroel Hawkins, Zerubbabel, he opposes Babylon. This is the only group on the face of the earth opposing Babylon. There's no other group. Not like we do. All right, can I have my next slide? The second number is 2484, and it means to stroke. Now, get this. You know, when they say, you know, like when you try to flatter somebody, you stroke them. It means to stroke by flattering. I want you to remember that word flatter, okay? Remember that word flatter as we move through here. Can I have my next slide? It's from 2342, and it means to pervert. To fall grievously, to tremble, to shake. You know, it means to be vain. Okay, this is talking about this system that's crumbling, that's getting ready to fall. This other trumpet, Satan's trumpet. Well, watch this. It goes to 2490, which means prostitute. Well, who's the prostitute? The great whore of Revelation 17, right? The great prostitute. Pastor gave a sermon years back. And he told us a word called strumpet. 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 Satan's trumpet. The prostitute. Okay? A strumpet, 666. And a strumpet is a female prostitute or a promiscuous woman. Notice the word trumpet in her name. But it starts with an S because it's Satan's trumpet. Can I have my next slide? But now that 2344 goes to 2342, and there's another side to this. Notice, 2344 goes to 2342, Okay, let me explain this. Look at the top. These two numbers you've been hearing for like all Sabbath, last Sabbath, right? 322 and 2022. When you add them up, you get 2344. Well, what could this mean? Well, 23 means Father of Gathering, and 44 is the 44 we're all gathering on, right? This 44 acres? And think of Isaiah 44, the seed that the Spirit is being poured upon. It goes to 2342, and it means to calve dance. Calve dance? Have we heard that lately? Didn't somebody just mention that last week? That calves released from the stall, we shall surely be dancing while this nuclear war is destroying the great whore on the city of Seven Hills. Remember Malachi 4:2, and you will go out leaping like calves. That word released is actually added from the stall. And when you put in calves from a stall, who do you get? 1074. Wow, what a coincidence. Can I have my next slide? Let's see if it's a coincidence. Now let's drop in The Mark of the Beast by Israel Abel Hawkins, 1976. Whoa, what's that first number? 666? Now, is that talking about Israel Abel Hawkins? Absolutely not. He wrote about it. The Mark of the Beast is 666, right? But 666 in Hebrew means ashes. It's the very word used in Malachi 4:3 where it says, they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. The 666 system will be ashes under the soles of our feet as the calves dance. Let's go to the next number on that. Let's see if it's a coincidence. 3996, oh, it means west? West? Like the Western lamp, 1074? The West, the Witness in the West. Remember, page 62, the House of Yahweh Established booklet. Go and read that booklet again. It talks about the West and the Western, Abel established in the West. Maybe that's a coincidence. Let's look. Let's look in the Greek 3996. It means to mourn. Are we there? It means to mourn. And lo and behold, look below, Hebrew equivalent word to 3996 is Abel, 56. Remember Abel mourning? It goes to 3997, which means mourning, and look at the Hebrew equivalent word below it, Abel. Abel in the West. The Mark of the Beast by Israel Abel Hawkins, 1976. Was he not here? He'd been here since 1967. He wrote this book in 1976. Can I continue? Let's look at this third number. Whom Yahweh impels. Whom Yahweh impels. Notice they use the word Yahweh there. That's Strong's. 5072 means whom Yahweh impels. It's from 5068, and it means free will offering. It means to move voluntarily, willingly. That's what Pastor did. He voluntarily and willingly moved and got moving because Yahweh inspired him to write this book. In 2 Kefa 1:21, it says, for prophecy did not come in former times by the will of man, but holy men of Yahweh, like Israel Abel Hawkins, spoke as they were moved by Spirit Holy. Yeah, he read about that strong covenant in Daniel 9:27, and he told you about it. He told us about it. Can I have my next slide? That word impel. Look, it means to stir up. It means to set or keep in motion. To set in motion. Remember, we just saw that in the Gematria of 1976. It meant to set in motion. Stir up, to inspire, to make a stir. Can I have my next slide? But also in the Greek, 5072 means a period of 4 months. Do you know when Pastor in 1976 he retired from the Abilene Police Department, and it took him 4 months. He'd started the Mark of the Beast in 1973. But once he retired from the police department, it took him 4 months to cram it all together and get it in and start getting it out. Isn't that amazing? It's shown in the Gematria. It took him 4 months. It's incredible. Can I have my next slide? Now, word trumpet. Let's look at this word trumpet. Trumpet, it means through the idea of quavering or reverberation. Trumpet. Reverberates, 828. Is he not the seventh trumpet? Reverberates at Abel, 1074. But now on the other side, now the last time I gave this sermon about the trump, the seventh trumpet, pastor came out behind me and showed, and I didn't even know he was going to show it. I didn't even know it existed. There was an article on the Times of Israel where President Donald Trump's lawyer said, peace deal is going to reverberate through the world. This seven-year covenant being the final 3.5 years being put into action is going to reverberate. Remember the word trumpet. Trump. Trump. Okay, next slide. It's from 4535 and it means a vibration. And it's from 4525 and it means flatter. Flatter? Remember the flattery I told you to remember? From the Gematria in 1976? And it means to move. Move. Get moving. That's what a trumpet's supposed to do. It's supposed to stir you to action. Blessed are those who hear the sound of the seventh trumpeter right now. That hear what he's saying. It means to wag as a dog, to disturb, to flatter, to beguile. The name trump actually means to fabricate, deceive, cheat. Now, don't get me wrong here. Nobody's putting down anybody. We should be praying for the President of the United States, not cursing him, foul language, and all this other stuff. Where's that in Scripture? I find that nowhere. Should not be in any of us. Let's look at the next slide. It's from 4579. It means, look. It means to stir up. It means to stir up. Remember impel meant to stir up? He whom Yahweh impels? Now, let's look at Isaiah 41:25. It says, I have stirred up one from the protected place. I have stirred up one from the protected place. In the King James, it says the north. The north. But the north means protected place. And he will come from the direction of the rising of the sun, gathering those who call on my name. He will tread on rulers as they were mortar, like a potter treads clay. All right, show the next slide. Drop that in Gematria, word for word, and look what you get. 2019, and then off to the right in Jewish, you see 1-17-17, the very date of Donald Trump's inauguration. You see that? This is from Wikipedia. Inauguration of Donald Trump. The event was the 58th presidential inauguration held in Washington, D.C. from January 17th or 1-17-17, the very number you're looking at. Do you think we're at the end, folks? Remember, he was sworn in on the 21st. The inauguration began 4 days in advance. Now, look at the next slide. It's from 4579. It means to move, quake, shake, to agitate, stir up. Notice, when you drop what they put in here in the Gematria, move, quake, shake, apparently a primary verb to rock, vibrate properly sideways or to and fro, i.e. generally to agitate, in any direction, caused to tremble, figuratively move, quake, shake. Look whose tag number's there. 1074, drop the zero. Can I have my final slide? Because I'm setting you up for a future sermon. There it is. 10704, the same number you just saw that Pastor gave the seventh cleanse used by the prophets to bring the saints before Yahweh in the last days of the seventh Moloch. Remember Revelation 10:7. The sermon was given on 10:7. The great secret will be revealed to those whose names are written in the book of life. Notice 10:704, 10:74. Great secret be revealed in Abilene, 3:22. Names are written in the book of life, 2022. Man, I'm telling you, there's two trumpets, okay? That 2019, I don't know what it's doing there, but I know there's about, Pastor mentioned, 3.5 years between 2019 and 2022 or something like that. I don't know. I'm not here to interpret. I'm only here to give you the facts, the numbers. But if you'd all please stand, my time is up. At this time, it's my great honor and opportunity to present to you one of Yahweh's great priests, the great Kohen Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. And of course, you know, with ushering out, as they call it, the Roman years, and we put back the last year of 2018, we bring in the new year. There's always looking back. They always show this on TV. Looking back at the things that changed, but there's some things that didn't change, and statistics are in. And this was reported by World Meters. Now, they were voted one of the best reference websites by the American Library Association. And the number one killer, once again, if you'll look, was, let's pull it down here. Well, I've got abortion. Abortion, number one killer once again. Well, that's if you believe it's murder, but it is. You know, I know some try to say it's not. But if you take that, now those are reported abortions. Think of the number of abortions that go unreported. And if you were just to take that basic number, the city of Abilene, Texas, the city of Abilene, Texas population, it's like killing them all out every day of the year. It's that many people. It comes out to about 115,000. That's reported abortions. Why is nobody standing up against it outside the house of Yahweh? Why does no one care? Well, of course, remember the population. That's a great way to get it started. Get them before they can get out. That's a great way to do it. And then going into the flu. Of course, they're telling everybody, get your flu shot. Get your flu shot. You could get the flu. Well, it shows a man in Las Vegas, he got his flu shot, and he almost died. They had to put him in a medically induced coma for 30 days. They're saying it's going to take him about a year to be rehabilitated. He couldn't speak. He couldn't walk. He couldn't do anything because the virus literally attacked his system when he was injected with the flu vaccine. And like he said, I think I'd rather have the flu. At least then I'd only be down for a couple days. But it's poison you're putting in the body. And then a very well-known journalist from, she did a lot of Fox News. You might recognize her. She was 26 years old. And all of a sudden, they say she was very healthy, going about her life. She contracted the H1N1 swine flu virus and then also got meningitis and died. Now, that's a tragic death, and I don't want to make this sound negative in any way, but this young girl died a horrible death. Of course, they found her. She was unconscious. And then after she died, they donated her organs. You know, and I have children. I'm not trying to say anything negative toward the parents, and I know that's a very sensitive issue, but think about the common sense in that. This young lady died a horrible death due to the parasitic environment that we've created in this world today. They can't explain it. She shouldn't have had to die that way, but then they helped spread it. It makes no sense. Someone should stand up for what this girl died for instead of spreading it amongst other people. They should actually stand up against the sin. Well, they're not doing that, and there's something called enforced speech. Pastor brought out not long ago, pay attention when they start trying to tell you they're going to govern your speech and what you can and can't say, because what they're saying is don't speak against this beastly system. Don't speak against what we're trying to do. They're trying to shut up the tree of life, known as the house of Yahweh. That's what the end product is, what they want to bring about. But, of course, it ties back into this teacher being fired here not long ago. We showed last week where she was fired for not signing her contract. But it shows how that's just one aspect of what they're doing. They're actually shutting down certain parts. And it explains it very well to where you're going to have to be careful how you say things if you want to be part of us. Well, we don't want to be part of them, so that fills that issue pretty quick. And Praise Yahweh. And then you have UNESCO. The United States and Israel both officially pulled out this week. Now, they'd quit paying dues, and this is supposed to be a rights organization for people led by the UN, and it's called UNESCO. But once again, what you need to notice is how the United States and Israel is working close together. And this all started because Hebron was recognized as a part of Palestine. The United States and Israel didn't like it, so they're pulling out. If you do anything against Israel, the United States is showing its might and its power. And then Ukraine, officially, they say they've completed their split from the Russian Orthodox Church. They've become this autocephaly. Now their leader will be appointed by the leader of the church in Turkey, which is also Constantinople. Remember how close their ties work with the Catholic Church, but once again, showing the split off from Russia. And then, of course, the Sea of Azov, there with Russia and Ukraine, more tensions building up. President Putin coming out saying that the world should not underestimate the threat of nuclear war. Don't look at it as something that will never occur. You know, don't take it for granted. And then, of course, everybody wants to go out and get a nice job, you know, making big money in the world. And if I told you that you could work for NASA and pay you $65,000 a year, would that sound successful? $65,000? It may have sounded successful 20 years ago, but you'll see a lady. She's making $65,000 a year. She works for NASA, and she has to live in an RV outside on the city street because she can't afford the rent, which is over $5,000 a month in that city. When big businesses come to town, people think of big jobs, but the people that are living in that town when these big businesses come, usually people come into that town and take those jobs. And what you get left with is now they need more housing. Well, they don't have housing. So the rent went up 54% in that one town, and people living there went from living on a budget that could afford it to now they can't even afford to pay their own rent. And you'll see motorhomes lined up down the street, hundreds of them. Or you can go to L.A. where there's a huge homeless population on the street because there's nowhere to live. They can't afford it. Even if they have jobs, they can't afford it. There's no product of humanity or morality. There's no teaching of loving your neighbor as yourself. It's come make money for me, and I don't care about you once you leave. And that's the way business is done in the world. I own you from this time to this time. I want you to make me money, and what you go through once you leave from making me money, I don't care. That is very opposite from the way Yahweh does things, where he cares 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and every day of the year. Yahweh cares what you go through from sun up to sundown. And that's the difference that we see in the house of Yahweh. There's a true care and concern for Yahweh's people. That's not seen in the world. Russia also warning Europe of the bombing that's going to take place very soon, but they're warning Europe of the missiles the United States is putting into Europe. Russia's saying that Europe should have more of a backbone and think of its own interest. And of course, its interest is doing business with Russia. And Germany does a lot of business with Russia. And then, of course, you have Iran who comes out and says, the United States, I don't care what they do, they will not stop us from selling our oil. So that's kind of an aggressive stance there, because they're saying, we're going to sell no matter what you tell us. And the United States is saying, either you comply with us, or you will not buy, sell, nor trade. We will shut you down. And remember, we brought reports where the United States says they want to drop their sales, their exports of oil, down to zero. None. Well, John Bolton, if you remember, he's an advisor to President Trump. He is also the one that said that we would rejoice in the streets of Tehran in 2019. Remember, that's the capital of Iran. Also, don't forget, you have to tie this together, Wesley Clark, General Clark, brought the axis of evil, if you remember, in George Bush's administration, speaking of the seven countries that they were going to take out, and the last one being Iran. Well, they go in, they explain that what we see taking place in Syria, where the troops were pulled out, well, Press TV reports how the United States, again this week, bombed Syria, right there at the great river Euphrates. They're pulling troops out, but they haven't stopped with war. They're still bombing. They also show how they're pulling them back into Iraq. And the speculation, and this man they're talking to used to be an advisor to John Bolton, he's saying it looks like they're pulling them back to go to war with Iran. Is that what could be taking place? Because when you go to war with Iran, remember who the Iran allies are. You have Russia. You tie China into that. Of course, Syria. That's the ones that are there helping defend Syria. But think of how things could go loose at any time And of course, it's all over the oil. It's all over the oil in Iran, but it's also for power and control. To do what we say and fall underneath this system, or else we'll shut you out completely. So at this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Hey, wow. We got a house full. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. This is so... Wow. Y'all, where do you see this? Praise y'all. You may be seated. hey, boys, your girls are still out doing you. This is a beautiful day. I told you it's going to be. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The news is great. I need to get these three in, not to read them, because we'll be covering them next week here on as we give the news. Now this was in 19, the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins. This is in 1997, if you want to write this down. The patent, we were given a patent in the 11th month, 22nd day of 1993. If you remember, that's the same time, same year now, that the peace treaty was signed, 1993. And then the peace treaty was confirmed then. Confirm established that it was, no, that was us, established. Okay, anyway, this will be covered with the gematrics, of course, in the near future. I'm not sure about next week. I don't think we'd have time. We've got too much other to cover. The Book of Yahweh, that'll be covered too. And then you got that. This you need to keep in mind right now before I go into this article. This gematrix kind of set me up for this sermon right here, because it shows the 1976, the book written, the mark of the beast, and then all this stuff starts taking place after Yahweh put that book out. Iran to send warships to Atlantic, closer to U.S. waters. Next week now we'll show, I think you got it though this week, the five nations that will stand with Iran when the war starts with the United States, because they're all trying to get out from under the petrodollar. And, of course, the United States is the one that says, let us be like the first beast at Revelation 13. We'll get to that in a little bit. And then, don't hurt the oil or the wine. Now, China tests its own mother of all bombs, China. So you can expect that. Before they tested it, they got it ready. I can guarantee you that. World War III DEFCON warning threat level issues as Russia and U.S. nuclear armament soars. It was on three, and this is the danger. The lower it gets, the more the danger of it kicking off to the full World War III. The World War III is going to take place in the year of the two witnesses, the 3.5 years of the two witnesses. If you turn over to Revelations now with that in mind. Revelation 13, and rehearse, get this in your mind again. Need to keep it there because these prophecies are important to show you what is going to take place and what the more thus you can get in your subconscious mind, the better prepared you'll be to teach the universe, because that's going to be your job, teaching the universe. If you don't know it, there's war in heaven right now. And NASA discovered this. I brought it out years ago when NASA discovered the wars in heaven. And, of course, the Scripture talks about them. And if it wasn't for Yahweh's management, the ticking clock that's so accurate, the universe that's so accurate that it never misses a second, never goes one way or the other, not even one second. It runs as smooth as the best clock you can find. In fact, we have to set our world clocks. We have to set them by the universe, and to keep our clocks right, because we can't seem to get a clock that's exactly right to fit in with the universe. But this period now here of Revelation 13:10, it's speaking of a period of time that's shown here, a period of time that we're in right now, the 7-year period of time. But this one, the worst part of it takes place here, and the biggest force we see. I don't want to take time to read the from 11 through 18, but I'm telling you, you need to rehearse this. Maybe on the next preparation day, if you'd make you a note, make you some notes of what you need to do on preparation day, that could be one of them, to rehearse this. And don't just read over it. It's not a funny book. It's it's something you really have to study word for word. I'm going to show you and try to get this over to you, what I'm saying. You can't just read the Scriptures. You could read them over and over and over and over. But unless you study the thoughts that Yahweh gives you in each paragraph, you're not going to get it. And you've got to, it's got to be in your heart to do so, or you won't do it. It's got to be in your mind. You got to place it in your mind from the desire that comes from the heart. But verse 9 and 10, if any man has an ear, let him hear. He who is for captivity, I haven't got into this deeply, but Yahshua got into it. And you'll see how hard it is once you start trying to practice it. But I do intend to get into it by the feast, Passover. I feel like I've got to. He who is for captivity will go into captivity. You're a fool if you don't believe that. He who is for war here must be killed with the war. This is the only way that they're going to learn a lesson. It's a must for this to take place. Herein is the patience and the faith of the saints. This is it. You've got to get away from this kind of life that started with Nimrod. It actually started before Nimrod, but it's brought out real strong where they started making their Nimrod schools. The wall that Trump is wanting $5.5 billion or $5.25 billion to build, if you just think what's going on in his mind, and of course there's somewhat skepticism, somewhat movie taking place to where they don't exactly want you to know of what they expect. But if you could see from the buildup on this news that's been presented here, we didn't make this up. It's collected off of the news stations and reliable news stations. But Trump is wanting a wall for the future here. It's not so much as to keep Mexico out of Texas. That's a very small portion. Once they invade a city, once the enemy gets in, which we see now, they're making their moves towards Venezuela. And once they get in and get established in a city, you see, if you'd watch their war games that's taking place in Syria, Trump is expecting the same thing in the United States. And the wall is what he thinks is the safest way. So to keep invasions, secret invasions, they won't be the government, the news type that's shown on the news of the few thousand people that made a march for the border. This was to show that this could take place, but it's also to show you that the secret movements, if the enemy got in to where it's already set plans to do so, we got articles, we'll be showing them next week if we didn't get them this week, but the enemy has plans, they're making plans right now to attack the United States. And if the enemy got into and came up through Venezuela, they could do it undercover. If you study that country, a person can raise illegal marijuana plants for years and years and years there in the jungles and never be detected because people don't go into the jungles. The average person don't go into the jungles. A lot of people go in there and never come back. So they stay clear of those jungles. At the same time, if an enemy wanted to invade Texas and they get into a Texas town, the way the nations are set up, and this is what Yahweh told Samuel, he told our forefathers this many, many times and warned them that the thing that you're choosing here with the kings, you're choosing war, you're choosing fighting. So what is taking place is just that very thing. The United States wants the oil. Dick Cheney, they said, was adamant about getting all the oil in Iraq, all the contracts of oil in Iraq. The wealth turns a lot of heads. They're like people who will spend their lives trying to buy a house and a car and stuff like this. And you saw how vulnerable they are to getting everything taken away from them. They can't pay their taxes. Taxes is something you can't put a handle on. You can't say it's going to be this much taxes every year because they raise it every year. And it's getting harder and harder on the people to pay taxes, and they tax some on your water bills. We've seen that take place right here in Abilene, Texas. And the people are going against the governing lords of Abilene, and they're voicing their opinions, and some of them are even making threatful statements because of these high these high revenues that they're wanting. The same thing that we're putting on the nations, the turfs that we're putting on the nations, is being put on the people right now. And if you saw the news of Mad Coffee, they called it, Mad Coffee, where they were trying to defend this this huge amount of money that they're putting on the water bill, and they can't do without water. So they've got to pay it or move out. Well, a lot of people have to move out, and they got tent cities. Now, this is all taking place right under your nose right here. Lubbock, Texas had so many people living in tents. Lubbock is just down the road west a little ways. They had so many people, families now with children, living in tents on the streets. So they started building bungalows like we have. And I said, look, they're copying our bungalows here. Ours is a little bit better, nicer than theirs. They have heat in them. These didn't have heat or electricity, or all they had was two windows and a door. And they had a 4x8 sheet of plywood up off of the ground about 8 inches for you to put a sleeping bag or quilts or whatever on to sleep. That's what they're building to get them off of the streets. It's not because they have some kind of feelings for these people. They want them out of their sight. So they built these bungalows, and they said, y'all take your tents and go on down here and move in one of these bungalows. This is right here in Texas, not too far down the road. Lubbock, Texas is on the news this week, yesterday. Maybe we can show that too. Well, anyway, the wars now, the nations, this is where the big threat is. If Iran is attacked, or if Iran attacks America, or if China, in the disputed sea waters that's going on right now, if either one of them makes an attack against each other, there's the chance of about 4 or 5 other nations joining the war against the U.S. So if they're set up to where they can come into Venezuela, Mexico, and so forth, the uppermost things in the mind is the nuclear. So they're not really going to have soldiers, enough soldiers. They're trying to get enough soldiers. They're trying to enlist women and men now. And they're going about it in several ways. So be careful what you sign, unless you want to be a part of the wars. My family, they moved from the deep south, east, to Texas to avoid war. Now, that was people who did not yield to what the heads of Israel was demanding of Samuel. These people didn't go for it. These people suffered persecution. Every generation of that people suffered persecution. They were still trying to kill them in Hitler's day. And of course, they were fleeing for their lives, but they were fleeing for their religion at the same time. They didn't want to give up their religion, and their religion said, trust in Yahweh. Of course, by the time this period took place, they had done altered, they had done forgotten a lot of what Moshe taught. Let me tell you something right now, and everybody pay attention. If you miss one service, if you miss last service, you missed a great service. We have people in Ukraine and Italy, even. In Italy, they were some of the 5 hot spots that listened to that and commented. Great comment. We had over 10,000 people watching that. Yes. Over 10,000 at last count. And they were commenting on it, and they were praising Yahweh because Yahweh is bringing his work forward now. And of course, now that's what you saw with the Gematrix today, that Yahweh guided that book, the Mark of the Beast, and everything we said in that book was inspired. Inspired to be written for you so you could see the prophecies coming to pass. Well, we're in that time period right here, and we see this war, and he gives it here between the first beast and the second beast with the two horns. The Protestant and the Catholic run this place, the U.S., and their work is lined out for them in detail here. If you would just study these words, you'll see what I'm talking about. Their work is lined out. Yahweh doesn't give the every, put it in language where you could understand it, where the enemy could understand it. In fact, he gives a little here and a little there. But then he tells you, who will I teach this knowledge? Meaning, you must be taught this knowledge. I've taught it several times, and you, though, need to catch up on it. You need to really memorize these things. Don't let anything waste your time. Keep your mind on it. This Revelation 13:11-13, this wall that Trump is building right now is for this future, for the future. We're on a countdown. We're getting nearer. It just fell from 4 to 3 now. And this is a big fear, because this three little points amount to nothing and could be very shaken very easily. But what is going to take place is what you see right there in these 11 through 18 verses. And the wall that Trump is building right now is for a purpose. I don't think they're going to tell you what he wants that wall for. I don't think he's going to tell Congress or the senators. He'd probably have a better chance of building it. But he doesn't. They're very careful right now to keep this news as quiet as possible. And, of course, they don't like it because we're bringing out the prophecies that shows exactly what's going to take place. We also bring out the prophecies that show us step by step up to this last 3.5 years. And all of this has come to pass, and they see this. And the Vatican started saying about depopulation. He said they sent their Pope out to say absolutely no nuclear war. Well, see, it wouldn't make any difference what they say now. It's too late. It's to a point to where they say, you know, it's hopeless without it. Everybody's saying it's hopeless without it. Another book just came out this week called War, Peace Through War. I haven't got it yet, but I do intend to. I got my number in scripture. Someone bought me one of them. I went by and saw it today, and I hugged it. I did that with my Strong's Concordance too when I got it. I hug my Book of Yahweh all the time. I love it. Now the end here, I want you to turn over to Daniel 12 with Revelations in mind. Turn over to Daniel 12. And we're talking about the end here. We're talking about two witnesses. Revelations 11 talks about two witnesses too. But that tells you how many witnesses there is, right? There's not two here and two over there and two somewhere else. There's only two altogether. There's just two witnesses. That's all Yahweh had, and he cut that one down to one. And he shows that he cut it down to one. But look at chapter 12 now in verse 4. He said, He told Daniel here, he said, shut up the words now, because Daniel went through all these prophecies, including what we brought out in the Mark of the Beast, which means that Yahweh opened it up where we could understand it. Who will I teach knowledge? Who's going to foretell these? That's in Isaiah 44. He said, let these two foretell it. So I wrote the book. Starting in 1973, I kept putting in all the hours I could, and finally I kept griping about having to take off 8 hours, which is actually turned into 10 hours, to give to the police department, and I kept wanting to quit and spend my full time, and finally did in 1976. But notice, shut up the words. Did you ever look up that word, shut? That word shut? How many's looked it up? Hold up your hand. It's very important that we do this. Let me read it to you and show you how important it is. Let me read this to you first, Daniel. Shut up the words and seal the book, or books, should be books, to the time of the end. Many, and notice it's at a certain time. See, you get that? He gives you a time. Time of the end. Many will run to and fro. Knowledge will be increased. Then Daniel looked, and behold, there stood two others. I will give to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy. And lo and behold, the next verse there, he sees one of them dressed in linen prophesied. The word shut. Did I not bring that? I probably didn't. Well, I brought the word 1976. 1976. The word, Strong's Concordance Hebrew. 1976, it means. This is just the word shut. No, the word 1976. I'll get you the word shut in a minute. 1976. This, and it goes to 2088. 2088 and 1973. 1973 says it shows a distance of time. It's a time period. It shows a distance of time far away from Daniel's time. It's far away of time, beyond, forward, not backwards, but forward, hitherto, yonder. The word 2088 is the next one. Hold on to your seats now. You're going to flip right here. And this is what you get out of looking up these words, really studying these words. 2088 of him, the one, the other. Of him, the one, the other, the other. The other, then the other. This is the meaning of the word. Out of the self, same, such, and one. On this side. And though I feel sorry for those who are not familiar with Daniel's writing now. On this side and on that side. This is the number, 1976. Don't pass up anything. You know, what got me deeper into this was the women last week. They're bringing out things that I thought, well, wonder why they looked up those words, you know. But you got to, when you get interested in this and you start seeing what Yahweh has done, you also start seeing his great wisdom to do it. You think of the wisdom it took in this number in Scripture to show his work and yet hide his work from the enemy. You saw how Sonny, my brother, this was a mistaken identity of martyr right there. They didn't think about the one that was 10 years older, but they thought, here's brothers here just a few months apart. That must be the ones. Let me kill whichever one I can. Well, of course, Yahweh always kept me kind of guarded and kept. And I went through a lot of things, a lot of danger, but Yahweh brought me through it safely. But on that side, on this side, and then on the other side, another. Now let me read you this one again. Shut up the words and close the prophecy until the time of the end. Shut them up and close them till the time of the end. The word shut, here it is. It means to stop up, to keep secret, keep secret. Remember what occurred to the word of Yahweh? It's locked up and they threw away the key. They actually thought that was burned. They made out like it burned in a temple. But the temple wasn't burned. They lied about that. It means to stop. Shut up. Hide. Hide it. So it's hidden. Shut out. Keep secret. Until the time of the end. It gives you a time. 1,500 years later. In fact, 1611, the King James Version came out. Now remember the definition of shut on the words and seal the book until. He gives you until the time of the end. We wouldn't have this book right here in the time of the end if Yahweh hadn't have brought this book, made it possible for his house to actually translate and publish it so the house of Yahweh could have his name. I remember 1961. This was a year before Jacob and I went on radio in 62, but in 61, we were talking about the name. A lot of the people that was with me then are not with me today, but they got things started. In fact, one of the sermons that was brought was about the linen. And one of these women, the wife of an elder, she came to the sanctuary in town, and she handed me a package with a clothes hanger and a package going down. You could tell something was in it, like a coat or something. Well, it was actually a full linen suit. And she said, "You take this, I think you're going to need it." And that's all she said and walked on in the sanctuary. And I didn't question her. I just hung it on the hanger there in the sanctuary. And after services, of course, I took it and looked at it. And I saw what it was. And I've been wearing linen ever since to teach. Well, you can read this chapter here and see the reason for it. But anyway, till the time of the end, it's got to hide this book of Yahweh, leave it hidden until the time of the end, keep it secret. That's exactly what took place. seal the book to the time of the end, and many will run to and fro, knowledge will be increased. All of that has taken place. Now, the ones who don't believe, it's got to be pretty stupid. Yeshua called them fools, Luke 24 and verse 25, to see that that has all come to pass. The nuclear bombs are here as evidence. Knowledge is increased tremendously with the computer. Then I, Daniel, the computer was started in 1934. The bombs were started in 1934. I was born in 1934. I am Yahweh's last day's witness. Now, remember the definition of 19, Strong's definition of the number, 1976. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, one on this side. Let me read that again. Surely we made a mistake. 76 from 2088 of him, the one, the other. This is the meaning in Strong's. Then the other, out of the self same such a one, or self womb. Same womb, as Isaiah put it. Man, on this side. On this side, that's what I said? Daniel, did you get that? Daniel 12, verse 5, on this side. And lo, 1976 said, on this side. And then it says, on that side. And that, lo and behold, Daniel said it too. And the other, on the other side. I had fun with this all week. I wanted you to share it. Of the river. And he says, then one said to him, clothed in linen, who on that future day is teaching, how long will it be unto the end? The end. Now that is, the end is broadcast from Genesis clear through to Revelations. Well, how long is it going to be to the end? And he tells you her here, and I heard the man clothed in linen, on that future day is teaching, when he held up his right hand and his left hand towards heaven and vowed by him who lives forever, that's Yahweh, that, mark out the other five words and you will see how much plainer it is. Just mark out those other five words that were added. Those were added, see? And it reads, him who lives forever, that time times and half a time. That's the end. That time times and half a time. See how simple that is now? Without the added words, of course. That's the end. That time and half a time. That's what President Trump says. And they already got it planned out, you know. I don't know who they're trying to kid, but I know they've already got it done, and he says it's going to reverberate throughout the world. You saw that reverberation today in the Gematrix, how this comes from the witness. The reverberation comes from the witness, and that's what we're doing. We're reverberating this throughout the whole world, these prophecies. When Yahweh will, now here's the next thing, see, this is you he's talking about. And this is you that's got to overcome. This is what he told Cain in the beginning. It's you that's got to do this, and you got 3.5 years. No, you don't have 3.5 years. That last 3.5 years is cut short. I don't know how short it is, but if you're not prepared, you won't be taken. You really need to get serious here. You don't have any time to waste. You need to be digging into this and looking up these words and calling the office and saying, I need to tell the whole audience about this one. That's what started last week. They kept calling and calling. Everyone had something they had to say. And some of it, I tell you, is being talked about now. One person, she almost wrote a letter about the number 17 and how joyous she was because she was seeing it everywhere. And she was wanting to understand what that number 17 meant. And she said, now I know, I know, I know. Now this is the praises that came forth from the service last week. Well, we'll have accomplished pouring out his power, that is strength, should be strength there, through his holy people, that's you. All these things will be finished. If you compare that to Revelations 10:7, you'll see that's the seventh trumpet. All these things will be finished in the voice, in the days of the voice of the seventh trumpet. So there's 3.5 years. 3.5 years, they're going to put it back into operation. That's the 7-year peace treaty that was signed in 1993. I said, when I saw that date, I said, man, that's the time. If you were about to run out of time here, but look at Revelations 11 now. Revelations 11, remember that date. And Yahweh says, and there was given to me a reed like a rod, like a measuring rod, and the Moloch stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of Yahweh, the altar and its confines, where they worship within, but the court which is outside the temple leave out, measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles. That's a false word. The word actually means armies. It means armies. The same thing that they asked Samuel for in Samuel 8. If you'd find that Gentiles and just circle it and put armies each time. If you remember, they turned Yeshua over to the Gentiles. And that's, somebody else said, no, that's nations. It was armies. It means armies. They turn them over to their army. And of course, their army took him and kept him overnight. We're going to celebrate Yeshua's memorial here very soon. Praise Yahweh. Get ready for it. You don't have long to get ready for it either. And the holy city they will tread underfoot. How long? 3.5 years. That's coming. That's coming. In fact, they've already started, brethren, this moving of the embassy to Jerusalem and so forth. And I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices, and they will, they will foretell events about the 3.5 years, those cast about with darkness. That's our job. Me and my brother both brought this on radio in Eastland in 1962 about this right here. These are the two. These are, mark out those three words, as it were, these are the two. You remember seeing that a while ago? Two others. These are two. This one, that one. This one on the one side, that one on the other. 1976, written in a book. These are the two olive trees. These are the two lampstands. These are things you can look for in the other books, because it's here a little and there a little. Ministering for the Father. Well, of course, you have to go then from there to Isaiah 44. Who as I will foretell these for me? Let them foretell them. The two witnesses, my two witnesses. One on this side, one on the other side. That just blows your mind to see the wisdom that it takes to put that thing, to put this book together, the book of Yahweh. It's marvelous. You can't love and desire it enough. You just, no way. If you could spend 24 hours with this. I used to do that. I used to sleep with it. Sleep with my head on it. If you would start right now, we got a lot to learn, but it's we got weeks to take care of it. But Yahshua gave us some vital stuff that I think everyone here would probably be able to handle it. And it's stuff that I wouldn't bring out before because I was trying it on myself. But I know that I can now. So I want to present it. We don't have any time left. We're down to the nitty-gritty, and we're down to the time when the nuclear wars could wipe out everything, wipe out all sinners. And that's what it's going to do. Your scripture says it. You'd be a fool not to believe it. You know, here's the nuclear bomb. It can do it. It wasn't there when Yahweh prophesied it, but it's here now. And this last 3.5 years is right on us. You really need to take accounting of yourself. Figure out how much time you can spend in your studies. Don't pass up a word. If you don't understand it, you know, that's a great sign right there. If you don't understand the verse, you know, this is where David Verner shined, you know, with his knowledge of the Hebrew and our studies for 30 something years. You know, it's increased over the years. And I'd say, David, I'd call him and I'd say, David, this scripture don't make any sense. Now, here's what I can get from between the lines. So he'd start searching the books then. And they would leave out words. They'd say, and we'd look at the commentaries and they'd say that it was problematic if we translated these words. So we didn't translate them. So, and then when you put it together then, it would make sense because it fit right in and showed something about Yahweh's last day's work. Almost every time it was that way. I don't know it to hundreds of places where we found the word Abel and they would not translate it. They were trying to hide it. Well, they spent years trying to hide it. Then they had the book of Yahweh in the temple, and they were required to read it daily. Yahshua took that law and read it. Remember? That was the high priest's duty. Yahshua was playing the part of the high priest before he ever became high priest, but he was already high priest because Yahweh prophesied that he would be high priest. He was holding that authority. In 1976, I was writing this by the authority of Yahweh as a witness and didn't know it. For years, I didn't know it. And when the proof came, it was shocking. It was shocking. I still thought I would find them two witnesses one day. And I did. Yahweh finally showed them to me. The sons of Yahweh. Yahweh said. Well, now we're down to this time period when Yahweh says his house, speaking of his house. In this time period, they're going to shine like the stars of heaven. Now, you're on trial, all of you. Heaven is looking at you. They can hardly wait. They're having hell in heaven, I can guarantee you, right now. And they're anxiously waiting for the sons and daughters of Yahweh to be made manifest, as the apostle said. They're anxiously waiting for the house of Yahweh, men, women, and children, by the way. Men, women, and children. Yahweh shows that the young, very young girls and boys will be teaching the words of Yahweh to the universe. Now, Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the service back to the next leader. I love you!